And if you can hear that sound here, it is because we have turned this studio into a bit of a Chinese kitchen. We've got Ming Tsai here. He is the chef owner of the Boston area restaurants Blue Ginger and Blue Dragon. He's also host and executive producer of the PBS show Simply Ming. And Ming, what are you doing there?
I am flashing this whole fish with oil, which is an old way of bringing lusciousness and deliciousness into a fish. And since we're celebrating Chinese New Year, the key, of course, is you want to bring wholeness into the new year. So you never would cut the head off or do a fish fillet, right? You need to have a whole fish.
And you say we're celebrating Chinese New Year. I should explain. Chinese New Year is coming up at the end of this week. And we wanted to talk about some different kinds of Chinese cuisine that you can have to celebrate Chinese New Year and not just the typical, General Tso's chicken or whatever you get at the local Chinese restaurant.
That is correct. And you were just there. We were talking about that, Jeremy. There's such varied cuisine in China.
Absolutely. There were types of Chinese food that I had never even really heard of. There was Yunnanese cuisine, which was very different. And, of course, you've come here with four different kinds. You've got for us, Mandarin, Hunan, Sichuan, and Cantonese.
Correct.
Okay, do you want me to taste this fish,
Please.
By
so
the way?
So that's from, this is my Cantonese. So this is a whole fish that's just been steamed with just ginger and scallion and then flashed with oil, just a touch of light soy sauce. The Cantonese food is very delicate. Soy, ginger, scallion is used quite often. There's almost never chili or spice in them. You want the fish to shine. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention we have this fantastic champagne, Pierre Peter, which we should toast because this is Chinese New Year. And
Happy New Year.
People know that sound. I think it's important. You know, this is one thing that we don't do in China is match food with wine like we do
Why
in France and America. You know, Sante, it just didn't exist 50 years ago. There wasn't wine, right? The only thing they drank in China was Shaoxing and then Baigar. Shaoxing is the rice wine, drunk and warm. Baigar is the fire water in those white bottles that, I mean, it's our moonshine, I guess. It definitely gets you drunk, but it doesn't taste very good.
Do you recommend to have wine as opposed to beer or anything else with Chinese food?
Both wine and beer, I think, are fantastic matches. You know, for example, if we go to these two spicier dishes, this is a Hunan dish. My grandfather is from Hunan. So this is gumbao jiding, which has the peanuts and the whole chilies and whatnot. It'll give you a good kick. And when you have food that is spicy, you want something of a wine that has just a little sweetness. So here we have the Trimbach. It's a Riesling. As you'll taste the wine, it has just a little bit of sweetness. But in sweetness for a spicy dish, it's a match made in heaven.
Oh, wow. That is delicious.
Because if you try to drink a red wine with chili or something spicy, Mexican food, Chinese food, Thai food, it accentuates the tannin of the food, and you don't want that. So think of a little bit of sweetness like this wine is perfect.
And this is Hunanese. It is not necessarily the spiciest kind of Chinese cuisine. Is that?
I would say it's one of the spiciest. The other one, of course, is Sichuan.
Right.
But Sichuan is known for something called mala. Mala literally means numb and spicy. So when you try this is a mala beef soup. When you try this, you will first be like, how am I supposed to eat this? This is crazy spicy. But what happens is the Sichuan peppercorn is this magical peppercorn that within 30 seconds starts to numb your mouth.
Yes. I just wanted to stop you to say, on New Year's Eve, I was in Hong Kong and went to a Sichuan restaurant, and it wasn't at all made for Westerners. It was absolutely the real thing, and it was – I ordered something that was literally covered with chili peppers.
No, it looks like the Valdez spill, right? It's complete oil slick of red chili oil. And but
oh,
I love
wow.
this.
That is that's right. my favorite. Should I be having one of these?
This
wines?
Is where you need the same Riesling because of that spice. Again, if you had any wine that didn't have that little sweetness, it would destroy the wine.
Oh yeah, yeah. The Riesling is perfect.
Isn't that
really?
Yeah,
it's
I mean Riesling's actually the best food grape in the world. People don't realize that. They always think it's Chardonnay or Sauv Blanc, but a really cold, you know, Yangjing beer from China, delicious, right? You want to have a cooling effect. And beer, really, just like in Mexico, just like in Latin America, beer is a great beverage.
And so we've got one more to go here.
And help yourself here. Pot stickers. So Beijing up north, capital, is where all the dim sum during the Ming Dynasty was created. Chinese New Year's, everything is significant in this sense. These pot stickers are short rib pot stickers. The shape of the pot stickers resembles an ingot of gold. So for Chinese New Year, you want to bring fortune and wealth into the new year. Uh-huh. So if you eat pot stickers, this is a guaranteed success of bringing wealth and good and prosperity into your new year. And, you know, like I mentioned, they had the whole fish, which you want wholeness. So eat whole duck, whole chicken, or whole fish, or whole lobster. Green is important. Green signifies money, which is a Western thing as well. Hmm. Chinese New Year's is one of these great holidays like Thanksgiving. It's just based on the food. But, you know, as you notice, I'm wearing red.
Yeah.
Red's very important because traditionally there was a beast named Nian. And this beast would come to the villages, eat the cows, the pigs, the adults, and especially loved eating kids. So the Chinese realized, you know what? Let's put food out in front of our door. And they put food out in front of the door. The beast would come and eat the food and stop munching
children.
On the kids.
Yeah, that's
right,
a good
idea. Which is very PC of the beast. But they also noticed that there was a kid wearing red, and the beast avoided that kid. So you always wear red. And it's very commonsensical. You're supposed to clean your house up, get the clutter out, paint your door red, paint the windowsills red. But also with red is this. This is the red envelope, the hongbao. If you were my child, there'd be a huge amount of money in there, since you're not my kid.
There's money in there.
I hope this is according to federal regulation. But never spend that money. This money is to bring into the new year. If you really need to spend it, then you're in dire straits, so it saved your life. Like, that's your dollar to call your lawyer. That's to call your lawyer. So, but, you know, and oranges as well. Always given in Chinese New Year,
you
oranges.
You have a bowl of oranges here.
That it's, again, it's prosperity. It's a whole fruit.
Ming, let me ask you this. Why is it that we don't have all of these regional variations at Chinese restaurants around this country? Why is it that when you think of Chinese food in the United States, you think of something that is, if not Panda Express, kind of like it?
Look, it goes back to how the Chinese emigrated here, right? We literally were brought here to build railroads. Then when that was done, all these men, mostly all men, did not speak English. One of the only métiers, the only way to make money was to make food. But unfortunately, it was kind of dumbed down to the American palate. And I think that happens in a lot of cuisines when it comes to this country. Hmm. So that came all the way to, you know, the 80s. And then we realized, then we brought real chefs from Hong Kong, from Sichuan, from Hunan, from Yangzhou. They would come and they would cook their cuisine. And some of the Chinese food, the best in the world, is actually in this country. Because you have the chef, which knows how to cook, because a walk's a walk. And the quality of the products in this country is better.
And do you think that the American tastes are changing and becoming more accepting to things like this delicious Sichuan dish that I've got?
Absolutely. I think a couple of things. The world, you can travel around so much more easily, right? So people are going to China. People are going to Thailand. They're going to Japan. So they're tasting the real deal. And they're demanding to have those real flavors. And you can buy any product anywhere in the world now. 20, 30 years ago, there was one ginger in the grocery store. Now there's like four different types of ginger, right? I mean, in Ohio, we didn't even have fresh ginger.
You
ginger
grew powder. Up in Ohio. Your parents.
I grew up in the culinary capital of the world, Dayton, Ohio, yes.
Well, and your parents ran a Mandarin-style restaurant.
Mandarin Kitchen. It was really my mom's gig. My dad literally is a rocket scientist. He was designing the B-1 bomber at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. Back to your point. So customers are demanding these authentic flavors. I mean, look at the great Korean food and Ethiopian food and all these real small restaurants that I think are just crushing it because people are getting much more educated. The palate of America is 50 times better than 20 years ago.
Well, Ming Tsai, host and executive producer of the PBS show Simply Ming, and of course the James Beard award-winning chef owner of Blue Ginger and Blue Dragon. Thank you so much for coming in. Happy Chinese New Year.
Yes, as we say in Mandarin, Gong Xi Fa Cai.
I'm not even going to try.
Yeah, that's okay. You don't need to. But what are we going to do with all this food, Jeremy?
We'll have to give it to Meghna.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, can't wait to dig into
it. Go for it, Meghna. There's plenty to share. By the way, we've got a video of Ming's visit here. You can see all this incredible food that he brought in. We've got a slideshow. It's all at hereandnow.org. From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Here and Now. Funding for Here and Now comes from the Institute of Contemporary Art, presenting Bill T. Jones in Storytime, a new dance work inspired by John Cage, February 21st through 23rd, ICABoston.org.